according to Matthew. Jesus said, "If another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others with you, so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two and three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them." The Gospel of our Lord.
While reading the passage from Exodus describing the process, the slaughtering, the roasting, and the eating of the lamb at Passover, an image from the movie My Big Fat Greek Wedding came to mind. The bride's authentic Greek family is roasting a whole lamb on a stick in the front yard of their home. The groom-to-be and his guests gasped at the sight, offering condescending remarks of disbelief, astonished that folks would actually roast meat outside their home in front of all their neighbors. And besides that, the groom-to-be, he don't eat no meat. How disgusting. Many in the audience viewing the movie laughed hysterically, and I uttered to myself, "What's so funny about that?" Introduced to spit barbecuing at an early age, I didn't think it offensive, nor did I find humor in that particular scene. Roasting meat, a lamb, turkey, pig, even with the pig's head included, on a spit, over a bed of coals, in plain sight by anyone who wandered by, was the norm in the environment where I was raised. My Uncle Buddy was well known for his spit barbecue talents, an award that reads, "Buddy Jukich, the Barbecue King of Nevada," still hangs on a wall in his house. Uncle Buddy barbecued for many local events, marriages, funerals, Basque festivals, and White Pine Slavic Club parties. He even took his show on the road. He cooked for a festival at UNR in the late 70s, numerous political events, and a variety of fundraisers. The tradition of spit barbecue continues, even though Uncle Buddy died in 2002. I observed every move Uncle Buddy made and participated in as much as he would allow. The entire process was choreographed and presented in a very meticulous manner. It began with the gathering of mahogany from the hills around White Pine County, and that was a party in itself. Once the wood was gathered, the day or the week before, it was chopped into pieces that would burn in a steel garbage can. It had a little chunk cut out of the bottom, big enough for a shovel to remove and transfer the coals to a layer of fire brick. The cavity of the meat was seasoned, and then it was skewered onto the spit, the pole, and secured with nails pounded into beer bottle caps with just one firm swing of a hammer. And then the legs were tied with string. Hefting the pole with the help of a friend, Uncle Buddy would place that meat just so over the hot coals The meat was oiled, it was basted, often, as it rotated over the coals. Rotating the meat. In earlier days, everybody took shifts turning that meat as it roasted for 6 to 7 hours for the beef and lamb and a little less for turkeys. Some sat for 30 minutes to an hour at a time. The smaller children might sit for a maximum of 5 minutes before boredom set in or a craving for a piece of bread sopped in fat developed. We rubbed chunks of bread alongside the skin of the meat to catch the drippings. And I know that's not very healthy, but it sure tasted good. In later years, my uncle gave way to automation. He hooked the spit up to the motor of an old washing machine. Men, women, and children were no longer needed to turn the spit. Time was now spent playing pinochle, preparing desserts and side dishes, sharing stories and music. I don't know how the process, or I don't know the process the folks of biblical times experienced while preparing their Passover meat, but I sure hope it was as memorable and meaningful as mine was and is. I spent most of August in Ely completing some projects at Uncle Buddy's place. I swept and power washed the patio where that meat was roasted. I cleaned the woodshed where the mahogany is stored, washed windows in the enclosed part of the patio where picnic tables and bar stools provide places to eat and drink, dusted off the award and all the photos, the mounted deer heads and other articles that decorate the place, pulled weeds, mowed grass, and raked pine needles and cones. But mostly, I reminisced, and I gave thanks for the legacy that Uncle Buddy blessed us with. Not just his house, his home, the patio, the barbecue equipment, the mining display, the party room, the traditions, the memories, but for teaching me how to love your neighbor. Paul reminds us in the words to the Romans that all the commandments are summed up in this word, love your neighbor as yourself. Uncle Buddy expressed that love for others through his ministry of hospitality. Hospitality is an opening up of, sharing of your stuff, home, food, drink, gifts, talents, with others, all others. Uncle Buddy opened his home to a diverse group of people, family, friends, and strangers. His home in Ely. He built this perfect setting to not only prepare the meat, but to serve the many guests he entertained. His place consists of a mining display, an outhouse where meat is smoked, this enclosed room with a fully stocked bar, wagons, wheels, horseshoes, antique mining and farming implements. So tourists walking by the place would peek over the fence, and some would knock on the door with a request to take a look at the place or snap a few photos. Uncle Buddy welcomed them all. After the tour, he poured a shot of Slivovice. It's a Yugoslavian plum brandy, and then invited them to dinner. Most accepted the Slivovice and some dinner, and many returned year after year and brought friends with them or corresponded with Christmas cards. Earning his living in the roofing and siding business, he often employed many folks, down and outers, giving them a chance to make a little money, and payday took place at his abode, checks delivered with a tray of food and drink. Uncle Buddy treated everybody as honored guests. He gathered folks together, fed them with the finest food and drink, and provided a comfortable environment where they could share story and music. Everyone who owned a guitar, whether they knew how to play it or not, brought it to Buddy's. The rest of us sang, whether we knew the words or not, mostly old-time Western music with some of that tambourines and Slavic music thrown in. Where two or three are gathered in my name, I am among them. Now, Uncle Buddy's gatherings don't resemble what many of us envision when we hear those words from Matthew's gospel. I've read of many instances in the Bible where wine was shared, but I don't recall any verses in the Bible that reference Schlievowitz. Buddy's gatherings brought together people of all nationalities, genders, political affiliations to enjoy a meal and get to know each other. God had to be there in the midst of all that good. Uncle Buddy was not a religious man. He didn't attend church except for baptisms, confirmations, marriages of his nieces. He didn't preach the word by talking about Jesus or God. He proclaimed the word by following Jesus' example to love your neighbor as yourself. Treat others as you would yourself. Most of what I learned about being a priest is attributed to Uncle Buddy's influence, his presence in my life. He showed me how to gather, feed, create a place to share story, and listen to others. Isn't that what priests do? Before he died, Uncle Buddy charged us with these words. I'm leaving this place to you girls. Don't sell it. Somebody in the family may want to live here. Open it up and entertain. Uncle Buddy smiles down from heaven when he witnesses a gathering of folks enjoying his place. His creativity, his offering of himself to the community, he is pleased but not surprised. What might surprise him is the impact that his life, his example of hospitality, has had on others. Lots of Uncle Buddy trained spit barbecuers are out there doing their thing today. And some of his trainees have cooked meat for the St. Teresa fundraiser here in Carson City. He would be pleased. What Uncle Buddy most definitely would not be happy about, he would shy away from, is being spoken about in church. He would be very hesitant to acknowledge himself as a disciple of Christ. This man who proclaimed genuine love for others, because to him it just came naturally. Scripture, the stories in the Bible, are just that, stories. And they will remain stories unless we heed what they say, relate those stories to our own lives, and seek to live out what the Spirit is calling us to do. So I offer this bit of nostalgic homily to you in three layers. The first is an invitation to reminisce about the gifts you've received from a special person in your life. The second layer is a reminder that Christ's call to love your neighbor as yourself is evident in the world around us. In the brokenness and negativity we read about and witness on the news and in our own neighborhoods, Christ is alive. God's love is made known to us in our families, our friends, strangers, in their stories, in their behavior, in the impact that they have on our lives. And the third layer is offered as a motivation to do the best you can with the stuff you've been blessed with. How will you live out the legacies of your special person? How will you live out Christ's call to love and serve? The Brazilian Bishop Dom Helder Camara warns, "Watch how you live. Your lives may be the only gospel your hearers will ever read." Teresa Avila presents the same challenge in this familiar but more gentler quote. And as you listen to her charge, think about how it applies to not only our responsibility to Christ, but also to living out the legacies of our loved ones. Christ has no body now but yours. No hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes through which he looks compassion on this world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands through which he blesses all the world. Yours are the hands. Yours are the feet. Yours are the eyes. You are his body. Christ has no body now on earth but yours. Amen.